Delightful. Thank you. We'll begin our service now with the lighting of the Advent candle. So as David comes forward to light the Advent candle, we will pray the blessing prayer together. We praise you, O God.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And we're going, and we will listen to the word of God proclaimed.
The first reading is from Zephaniah. Sing loud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to come to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What would you say are the most important values, or the most important value, that you should teach to your children?
Respect.
Truth, respect, love,
honesty.
Generosity. Love God, praise God. Honesty.
Selflessness.
Kindness. How about a strong work ethic? These are the values that John the Baptist, our Advent prophet, preaches about. Last Sunday we heard about John from the Gospel of Luke, and Luke put him into a historical context for the day. John wasn't such a notable person in the world's eye, but his mission, preparing that pathway for the Messiah, was most significant. And today's gospel continues that story as Luke tells us what John preached. Just as this weirdo in the wilderness was rather insignificant by world standards, his exhortations seem rather insignificant too. Here we have this crowd of people who have just heard these dire warnings. This brood of vipers asking John, what should we do? They're afraid. The axe is out of the sheath. The axe is raised, ready to come crashing down on them. And the Baptist basically tells this trembling crowd to live according to the values that they learned in kindergarten, at their parents' knee. He says, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Just be honest, he tells them. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Be kind, be generous, he tells them. Share what you have. Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. Just work hard and be fair, he tells them. Don't be a bully. Really? That's it? Honesty, generosity, and kindness? A good work ethic? This is how to avoid the axe that's at its ready? This is how to avoid the unquenchable fire and the wrath that is to come? John says, yep, that's it. Live like you believe that God's kingdom is here. You know, the coming of the Messiah affects every dimension of our lives, including how we relate to one another and how we relate to the world. Did you hear about this last week? Mark Zuckerberg made a promise that in the next 50 or 60 years, he would, along with his wife, give away $45 billion. Now, I don't see the individual pledge cards that come in from Saint. I can be pretty sure that our financial secretary would have come into my office holding a card that said anything like $45 billion. But that is not what our Advent prophet is calling us to do. Nothing heroic, just simple kingdom living. Kingdom doesn't show up in heroic deeds or grand actions. Rather, it is in the simple acts of sharing what we have, of being honest with each other, working hard, respecting others. It's through these actions that we are leveling and smoothing the pathway, that we are removing those barriers that prevent people from coming to God's kingdom, removing the barriers for God's kingdom being known and seen. Now, of course, we don't bring the kingdom. That's God's work. But one of the chief ways that we witness to the coming of God's kingdom is by living as we believe that the kingdom of life, kingdom life really matters. Living like we believe it. We have opportunities all around us to be kingdom builders like John the Baptist calls us to be. Just in case you don't think your everyday actions of being honest, kind and generous, hardworking, if you don't think that that would make a difference in the world, if that doesn't matter, imagine this. What if honesty, kindness and generosity, and a strong work ethic framed the debates and the speeches, but also the actions of our elected leaders and those who seek to be elected? What about all of our government officials and our law enforcement officers and our teachers and our co-workers and our families and ourselves? What would it be like if we left church today looking for opportunities to be honest, kind and generous, and hardworking? What if we looked for opportunities because we know that it is that extraordinary acts of grace are within the reach of ordinary people, people like us? What if we believed that and then acted on that belief? What if we believed that being honest, kind and generous, and hardworking really does make a difference? It's not about huge heroic acts. It's about daily living. It isn't about $45 billion. It's about a little green or red angel from an angel tree. It isn't about being Mother Teresa. It's about being you, a precious child of God who takes seriously the baptismal promise to care for God's people and to work for justice and peace in all the world. We're only 2 weeks from Christmas, and the promise of joy and peace seems almost out of reach in this world that is afraid that the next terrorist crime or random act of violence will happen soon or near. And because of this fear, we change how we live. And sometimes we risk forgetting who and whose we are. And when we forget that, the terrorists win. Maybe this Advent, we need to pledge that in the light of the dangerous world we live in, we will pay even more attention to the simple efforts of being kind and generous, being honest and hardworking, meeting the needs of those around us, reaching out to those who struggle, witnessing to our confidence that Jesus' birth and life, that his death and resurrection do make a difference. And our living, kind, generous, honest, hardworking lives make a difference too. That doesn't seem like much when the whole world seems like it's falling apart. But our Advent prophet's message that because God has promised to redeem all of creation in due time, because of that message, we are free. We're free here and now to take care of this little corner of the world where we find ourselves. There are, after all, no small gestures, but rather acts of generosity and kindness, deeds of honesty and hard work that really do make a difference in the world. This is the good news of joy that we can rejoice in on this Sunday in Advent. We lit the purple candle or the pink candle today, the sign of joy, and we sang joy to the world, and we heard those readings that are so filled with joy. Joy that we can believe that kingdom living is for us, that God has come. Not a heroic Advent, but a simple Advent of leveling and smoothing, of removing barriers, of clearing a way for God's kingdom to come through our honesty, through our kindness and generosity, and through our good work ethic. Bless us, Lord, with this joy. Amen.